Community conversations today are brought to you by Floyd County Medical Center. And joining us this morning, it's Mayor Monday, first Monday of the month. We have Charles City Mayor Dean Andrews with us. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning. I like that forecast because we're going out of town for a few days to a place where it's warmer. So when we come back, I expect it's going to be spring here.
So I certainly hope so.
I'm putting that on your shoulders, Chris.
I was kind of hoping it would be spring before we got all this other snow.
Yeah, me
and
too.
We just got rid of all the snow, and then we have a foot.
Yeah, I kind of liked brown grass, didn't you?
I did, too. Also in studio this morning is the Cheryl City City Administrator, Tyler Trout. Good morning, Tyler.
Morning. It's good to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you here. Your first time will go easy on you, Tyler. Don't worry. So with major economic developments making headlines, including the sale of Pure Prairie Poultry, the plant here in town, plus new investments for Milk House Candles. Lots going on in Charles City. I'm not sure how much of this you can all talk about, but Mayor, let's start with the sale of the Pure Prairie Poultry. Say that three times fast.
Yeah.
To Pittman Family Farms, a company that previously operated that facility when it was simply Essentials. Have you had conversations with them about what they believe is going to be different this time around?
The only way that we know that they bought the facility is that they called into our city and offices and wanted to change the utilities to their name. So we said, oh, I guess they must own the place now. So that's all we've kind of had out. Now, I know, Tyler, I know you have plans to talk with them, but I don't know if you've done any other visits with Pittman Farms at this point.
We haven't had any formal conversations with them, but right now the focus is just on being proactive and making sure that we can handle an operational plan again.
Yeah, because you know, as you all are aware, you know, that was our problem with the last facility is they got to the point where they were not monitoring their wastes as well as they were supposed to be doing, and it almost overwhelmed our wastewater treatment. It didn't,
but it almost did.
And so we were working with, before the sale, we were working with a holding company that was working on a sale. They didn't tell us who they were working with, but we told that holding company, you know, there's going to be some restrictions for whoever comes here. You know, we're going to have strict limits. We're going to be more strict on our limits than we were maybe before. We were fortunate that we did, you know, we had a big utility bill that didn't get paid. And we did some with the holding company so they could sell the facility. We did some working with them and gave them a little bit of a reduction. We reduced some of their fees, late fees that they had and certain things. So we got about 85% of that past due bill. So that was a really good thing for the city because we thought we might get 0% of that going forward. But we were able to get most of that bill paid off. Sold them the main street in front of the building to make their operations more functional, and they have done the payment on that too. So the city ended up coming out, you know, maybe not totally whole, but pretty close to whole because I think, you know, there was a conception in the city that we gave the last Pure Prairie a whole bunch of things. Well, like I say, the only thing that they were really delinquent on was their utility bill, and that's pretty much been taken care of.
Okay. So the city don't really know what's going on besides the fact that the building and land's been sold.
Correct. Yeah. We don't know if it's going to be might not even be a chicken facility. I'm guessing it will be, but we don't know if it's going to be a kill facility or just a processing facility. We don't know all those details yet.
Okay. So this will be a to be continued.
Yes,
discussion.
Definitely.
So, Milk House Candles, that's another a big thing in the news recently. They purchased the former Winnebago Hardwoods facility. Talk about that investment. What's it mean for Charles City, and what kind of economic impact could that have for us?
I think it's most, again, I don't have the details on that too much, but from what I understand, it's kind of a distribution area for that company. So it's always good to bring in new businesses. They have had a presence in Charles City already, but this will be just another presence, and it's. But it's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be a major employer, but it is going to be an employer. So it'll be good to have that building, somebody occupying that building out there.
Okay, excellent. So let's switch it to engineering-wise. I know the city was looking at hiring a group to share in the engineering aspect here in town. Did that take place?
We did. As you know, John Fallis, our long-term engineer who's been trying to retire for the last 2 years. He finally has told us that his last day is March 27th. And he said, I'm leaving to go to Europe on the 28th, so I'm not. So don't expect me to come back. So so anyway, we kind of under his, with Tyler's help, and we had talked about this before when Steve was here and John, and we thought rather than, it's hard to find an engineer for a city our size, that this is their, you know, their main job. Engineers like kind of, I think, are more interested in going to work for a larger corporation and just being an engineer. If they come to Charles City, they're an engineer, but they're also a public relations person quite a lot of the time. And so we thought it would be hard to find an engineer. And if we did find an engineer, we thought we were probably getting a pretty good bargain with John with the salary we were paying him. And so we thought, you know, that might be more of an obstacle. So we looked at having an engineer on retainer, an engineering company that would do some of the things that John did. Tyler's going to talk a little bit later about a public or a development services director who would take some of the other positions that John was doing. So we looked at, sent out a proposal for those firms, and we got four or five proposals, but the council kind of liked three of those proposals. And so we had them in and kind of did an interview process with the three groups. Two were large groups that have multiple offices throughout the state and some even in multiple states. And then another one was from Independence, that's his only office. And so we kind of got a mix of different opportunities. Do we want a single small firm, or do we want to pick from a larger firm? And the good thing was all three of them, I think the council would have been happy with. But under John's recommendation and Tyler's recommendation, they thought the smaller firm would be more like what we were used to. Not that so I should say that's Crawford Engineering out of Independence.
Okay.
And so they thought that would be more like what we're used to with having John here, a little more of a one-to-one relationship. The other company said they would have a primary person that would work with us. And some of the council thought, well, that'd be good because then we would have all the expertise of all the other people in their office. But again, the council was kind of having, I wouldn't say a hard time, but discussing the different options. And like I say, we're happy with all three. But like I say, kind of at John and Tyler's recommendation, they thought the smaller firm would be a better fit for us. So that's who we went with, was Mark Crawford's Crawford Engineering out of Independence. And he's already been up here a time or two just to kind of see what's going on. So it's a retainer basis where we're basically hiring him for 40 hours a month, not 40 hours a week. So it'll be, I think, a good relationship, but it'll be a new relationship, some we'll kind of have to develop. So
you bet. We are joined this morning by Charles City Mayor Dean Andrews, along with City Administrator Tyler Trout. Now, Tyler, when did you first start with the city in your position?
December 1st, last year.
Yep. December 1st. So after a very competitive hiring process, talk about what stood out to you about Charles City that made you want to take on that city administrator role.
Oh, well, I'm from the area. I grew up in Mason City, so very familiar with Charles City, and I've been coming here for quite a while, and just really, you know, of the river going through, and just kind of, it's a very pretty town.
We love having you here. Talk about your top priorities.
Top priorities would be, helping our industry continue to grow, housing, especially single family housing, and helping with public outreach and, sure, you know, just, you know, increasing the vibrancy of the community.
Excellent. Now, you were going to talk about a developing services director. What's that entail? And just talk a little bit about that.
Right. So it's a position that it takes a lot of John's duties were in regards to like planning and zoning and project management. So basically takes all of those roles and leaves the engineering, all the engineering stuff goes to the private firm, and the remainder goes to this position.
Okay. So how would one go to apply for that?
We'll be posting that today.
Okay. So on the city website, cityofcharlescity.org. org.
Yes, that's correct.
Actually got that right for a change.
Way to go, Chris.
It's always a .com or .org issue. All right, so that'll be posted here in the next few days?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, awesome. Anything else that I may have missed? I feel like I'm missing something.
Well, I would just add on to the development services person that when John was here, we had he was engineering, and then we have code enforcement, which was kind of under the police department, and nuisance properties were kind of under them. And so not all the time, but sometimes people would come in and they would get answer to their question from the code enforcement, and then they would come in and talk to John, and John would maybe give a different interpretation, which, you know, not that anybody was wrong, but it would, you know, sometimes they would get mixed messages. So now the code enforcement, the nuisance director, all those will be under this development services person and the engineering. So it'll make it more like one department. So it's more like one-stop shopping, where before you kind of had two-stop shopping. So this will be good to, I think, for our citizens to make it easier for them when they're doing a project, whether it's, you know, building a garage or adding a driveway or whatever that might be. They can come one place and they'll get all the rules that what they have to abide by, because we do have codes and different rules on things, and they're there for, you know, most people think, why do you do that? Well, most of them are there for a reason.
You're just picking on me.
Yeah, thank you for reminding me of that, Mayor. And hopefully it'll allow our chief to focus more on the public safety side of things and allow for a more focused attention on nuisances and code enforcement.
You bet. A lot smoother of a process. So check out the city website, cityofcherylcity.org, here in the next few days for a posting of that. And if you're interested in the position, apply for it then. Thank you very much, you two, for joining us.
I was just going to say, you know, we can't have a Mayor's Monday without talking about City Hall. We always have to throw in City Hall.
That is probably what I was missing. That is on the verge of opening, right?
Still a couple months. We're looking at June 1st for substantial completion to when we can actually move in over there. As you have been driving by and noticing, most of the windows are in now, which makes it look kind of cool. Especially at nighttime, you can see inside with the lights, because they leave the lights on or something. The lights on, and so you can see that the walls are going up inside, the drywall's going up. We were there last week ago, mm-hmm. Wednesday, and the council dais, where the council sits, is being formed or being framed in, and so it's starting to look more like a city hall building rather than a big empty shell. So been good progress, but like I say, originally we were hoping, or they were kind of planning on a mid-April, I think, and then it moved back to first part of May. Now we're probably about the first part of June, but that's still pretty good for a project that was supposed to be done, you know, the end of April, and now it's the first of June. That's still, I consider that pretty much on time. Yeah. And it's also pretty much on budget, too. We do have a contingency built into our budget that when we started this process, and we still have a lot of that contingency money left to be spent on changes that might happen. So I think we're sitting pretty well on our budget target, too.
Excellent. I've never understood contractors when, you know, years out, they can tell you within like a month of when that project's going to be done. I've never understood how they do that.
Well, how they do that is usually they're not right.
Well, usually they're not, but when they are, it's very impressive. So City Hall going to be opening up in the first part of June. We had Chief of Police Hugh Anderson in studio a couple weeks ago, and he said that he toured it. And he went down the hallway where his office used to be, and it's now like a closet or something like that.
No, did he was mistaken. That is his office.
Probably. I'll let you tell him that. Well, thank you very much, you two, for joining us once again. Cheryl City Mayor Dean Andrews and City Administrator Tyler Trout joining us here this morning on Community Conversations. Have a terrific week.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.